April 19th. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today, and thanks for listening to RBN. For people who can handle the truth. To see the guest schedule for this program, go to spingola.com, click on the radio schedule button, choose the year and the month. I hope that you will do that today so that you can see exactly what our guest is talking about. There are links to a three-part article that we are going to be discussing today and tomorrow. For questions or comments during the program, email spingola1@yahoo.com. My regular email is deanna@spingola.com. As you know, RBN is conducting a pledge drive, and you may help by contributing to that pledge drive. Just call 800-724-2719. You may support RBN in other ways by purchasing products from the RBN website, by subscribing to the archives at a higher rate than the usual $1.33 per month, or by purchasing some advertising if you happen to have a product or service that you would like to promote. Again, you may do this by going to republicbroadcasting.org or by calling 800-724-2719. My guest today is Dr. Eric Carlstrom, and he's got some very interesting things to talk about today. Welcome to the program, Dr. Carlstrom. Yo, are you there? Oh, okay. Apparently there's a problem, but that's okay. Okay, we'll get him back momentarily. Anyway, I have his three-part article linked on the website on today's date, and the name of the article is called "Is Crestone Baca, Colorado, the Vatican City of the New World Order?" And it's a very, very interesting three-part series, and I encourage you to read it. Okay, is Dr. Carlstrom back? Or
yes, I'm here.
Okay. Okay, I thought maybe you changed your mind.
No, the phone hung up, and so I didn't have much choice there.
Okay. Well, so I'm very glad that you're with me today, and your regular website is naturalclimatechange.us, and you've written this three-part article. You talk about the New World Religion. You talk about some pretty interesting characters, including Maurice Strong, who some of our listeners, I'm sure, have heard about, but you've talked quite a lot about him. And so we're going to break in about a minute. So tell us just a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get to those articles after the break.
Well, okay. Deanna, my name is Eric Carlstrom. I taught physical geography for about 30 years. I just retired. I taught at California State University, Stanislaus in the Central Valley of California. About 10 years ago, I bought some land in Crestone, Colorado, where I built a house. And so I've been kind of going back and forth ever since. My field of research has been soils, landforms, and paleoclimate, and using soils and landforms to interpret climates of the past. So this has gotten me into the issue of climate change from the point of view of what we would call a quaternarist, someone who's studies the quaternary period, which is the last geologic period of the last 2 million years, also synonymous
okay,
with the ice age.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but we do have that break. We will be back in 3 minutes with our guest today, Dr. Eric Carlstrom. So stay tuned.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes 6 number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call Get Berkey at 855-GET-BERKEY. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and super male and femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA survival course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Guest today is Dr. Eric Carlstrom, and his website is naturalclimatechange, all one word, .us. All righty, talk to us about this first part of your, the part one of your article. How did you happen
Deanna, when we set this up, I think we were going to talk about the New World Religion tomorrow, and today we were going to talk about the global warming fraud.
Okay.
Geoengineering. Great. and Agenda 21, all of which really kind of trace back to the United Nations. Would it be okay if we stick with that plan?
Oh, sure.
Or do you want to turn it around?
Yeah, but isn't this all part of the New World Religion, all of this Agenda 21 and the New World Order?
Well, I think they are connected, but in terms of, again, my own research, what brought me into this was actually my experience as a paleoclimate researcher, which helped me to realize early on that the global warming alarmism was not based on real science, based on fraudulent science. And I think that science has been manipulated and corrupted in this case, as well as in others. We can go back and see other instances in history where the ruling elite has taken the science and sent it off in a bogus direction with the funding in order to advance an agenda of theirs. We can talk about the other instances too, but this is the one that I'm most familiar with. So that was my entry into this. My other entry into the New World Religion comes by virtue of the fact that I live in Crestone, Colorado, which is an area where we have 24 religious centers, and also involves this character of Maurice Strong, amazingly enough. We can talk about that tomorrow. He seems to be a player in many of these programs and agendas. But if we
talk about the
climate change fraud as a pretext or as an excuse, first of all, to deindustrialize the United States through controlling our use of fossil fuels with carbon taxes and that sort of thing. And that's Plan A, and it's written as such in many government documents. Failing that, if they can't pass the Kyoto Protocol-type rollbacks of use of fossil fuels, they want to impose Plan B, which is geoengineering, weather modification, which gets into weather warfare. So what's really ironic about this whole thing is that the global warming scenario is that humans are driving their cars and their trucks, and the CO2 is causing the planet to overheat catastrophically. Well, there's no basis for this in science. There might be a basis for it in propaganda and in some of the computer models, but there's no basis in reality. We've been cooling since 1998, and carbon dioxide is a miracle gas that actually is critical for photosynthesis. So the more CO2 we have, the better plants grow. And also, historically speaking, and right on through the geologic ages, warming is beneficial for all plants and animals and humans. So to get us to be afraid and feeling guilty about driving our cars is, this is really science for dummies, I'm sorry to say. It's anti-science. Now, the geoengineering, on the other hand, is very, very, very high tech. This is NASA and the Air Force and the top people at various scientists who are trying to engineer the entire planetary environment with the atmosphere and space and whatnot. Well, what's interesting is that the connection, I think, with the UN is that it was under Marie Strong that the UN Environmental Program and the International Framework for Climate Change Convention defined climate change as man's influence on climate change. In other words, the terms of reference that were set for the research said we can fund projects that have to do with human influences of climate change. Therefore, we ignore natural climate change, which, of course, is huge over geologic time and much greater than anything humans have done. And so Marie Strong was in the inception of forming the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, another UN body, which is going to oversee all this quote-unquote research, most of which comes from computer models. The computer models assume, and again, garbage in, garbage out. The conclusions can be no better than the assumptions in a computer model, even if it's a Cray supercomputer that can do millions of calculations a second. They assume that there is no climate change without human activity, which of course is completely bogus, and they assume that CO2 is the main climate driver, which is also completely bogus because the sun accounts for 99.9% of the energy budget on the planet Earth, and CO2 is a trace gas, 4 molecules per 10,000. And humans are not even the biggest contributors. We only contribute about 3.5% of the CO2, and then water vapor is much more important greenhouse gas than CO2 or the others. And that's never factored in. Well, it's factored in, but not in a causative way. And it's factored in as a feedback. Number three, the greenhouse gas theory now, I think, has been very credibly debunked. There's a book by Dr. Tim Ball called Slaying the Sky Dragon, The Death of the Greenhouse Gas Theory. So the whole thing is based on very faulty premises. And, of course, the reason is they want to limit industrial activity and reduce our wealth because there is a one-to-one correspondence between use of energy and wealth. If we reduce our use of energy by 50%, say, by 2050, which the Kyoto Protocol actually would call for a reduction of 80% of our energy, well, we would have a commensurate reduction in wealth by 80%. There's a one-to-one correspondence. So unless solar and wind can take up the gap, which they can't, that's the perpetual 10 or 20% solution, because these are intermittent and diffuse forms of energy. And unless we gear up nuclear, which, of course, we haven't been doing, then there is no substitute for fossil fuel. So all of this
is... Now, is it really fossil fuel, or is it something else?
Well, okay,
I've heard people call it something else.
Yeah, you hear from Russians and various other scientists that fossil fuels are not organically based. They're not produced by decomposition of organic matter, which is the standard perception and model. I don't have any reason to believe that all the geology textbooks are wrong on this. I'm going to assume that they are ancient sunlight in the form of organic matter which has decayed. Now, that's another debate. And of course, the real question mark is, how much do we have left? The bottom line is 85% of our energy comes from fossil fuels. And various experts will tell you, you know, some will say, well, we've hit peak oil in 2005. Some will say it's 50 years off. I just heard a report on NPR, I think yesterday, saying, you know, we've got lots and lots of natural gas. We know we've got a couple hundred years worth of coal anyway, even in this country. But let me read you this. This is one of the reasons I wanted to do this interview, Deanna. I was reading through the Albuquerque Journal on the editorial page, and here's an article, editorial, Energy Future Done by Fiat, Not Consensus. Quote by Joseph Stanko, utility company attorney at the top, says, this standard effectively bans new coal plants. Now, we get 50% of our electricity from coal. We got about 200 or 300 years worth left. And here's what the article says. Banning new coal plants in the name of cleaner and more expensive electricity might be the way the United States wants to go. But shouldn't it be Congress, whose duly elected members represent American energy consumers, making that decision rather than the Environmental Protection Agency bureaucrats? Better yet, for consumers who expect to be able to afford to turn the lights on, run the fridge, stay cool in the summer and warm in the winter, wouldn't it make sense to have a plan for something to fill that energy void left by abolition of new coal? Yes and yes. But then this is a Congress that hasn't passed a budget in 3 years. So this week, the EPA stepped into the decision vacuum and issued the first limits on greenhouse gas emissions from new power plants. The administrative rule requires any new power plant to emit no more than 1,000 pounds of carbon dioxide per megawatt of electricity produced. Parentheses, the average U.S. natural gas plant puts out 800 to 850 pounds of CO2 per megawatt, compared with about 1,768 pounds for coal. The new rule translates into no new coal plants. Add that to the fact that utility companies plan to shut down more than 300 coal-fired boilers, representing more than 42 gigawatts of electricity generation, rather than upgrade them with EPA-required pollution control technology. These two acts raise the question, where will the nation's future electricity come from? Wind farms? Solar panels?
Interesting.
Biofuels? And what
all righty, we do have to take a break, Dr. Carlstrom, so we will be back in 3 minutes,
yeah,
and we'll pick it up on
okay.
The other side of the break.
Yeah. Did you know that the water you're drinking may contain over 2,000 different contaminants? From hormone-disrupting and mind-altering chemicals like fluoride in pharmaceuticals to newly emerging contaminants like radiation and other hybrid chemicals that water treatment plants don't screen out of our drinking water. PureEffectFilters.com has a breakthrough filter solution to effectively reduce the widest range of such contaminants, including the radiation coming from the Fukushima disaster.
In addition, the filters will also revitalize your water by releasing natural minerals and electrolytes while increasing pH and antioxidant levels. Safeguard and revitalize your drinking water today with a breakthrough Pure Effect water filter system. Visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more or contact us today at 1-888-891-4821. That's 1-888-891-4821. Call now and take one of the most important steps you'll take to a healthier future.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working capital cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
If you're not prepared, GetPreparedExpo.com. The biggest and best preparedness expo in the USA. Coming April 28th and 29th. GetPreparedExpo.com. Over 125 seminars and exhibits. Over $200,000 in exhibitor giveaways. 1,000 packets of heirloom seeds. 1,000 one-year subscriptions to Global Incident Map. 1,000 trial issues of Bob Chapman's International Forecaster. 25 vials of Dr. Sheely's Bliss. 10 Sigma 3 5-day survival courses. Autographed books by James Wesley Rawls, Matt Stein, Julia Shopik, and Dr. Sheely. And plenty more. Saturday and Sunday, April 28th and 29th. Go to GetPreparedExpo.com. One-day passes, $10 at the door. Advanced weekend passes, $15. At GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com. Don't miss GetPreparedExpo.com. Saturday and Sunday, April 28th and 29th. Ozark Empire Fairgrounds, Springfield, Missouri. The biggest and best preparedness expo in the USA. If you're not prepared, GetPreparedExpo.com.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Dr. Eric Carlstrom. His website is naturalclimatechange.us. And you were talking about the dismantling, basically the deindustrialization of this country because of this climate change fraud. And, I mean, you have all kinds of people saying that it's science, that it's, and there's, you mentioned that Eric, Schmidt, tried to silence debate by asserting that it's criminal to even question global warming. I mean, there's so many people that are, you know, that are pushing this, you know, in addition to,
Of course, Al Gore's movie, An Inconvenient Truth, did an awful lot to push the idea, as well as the United Nations and their IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which really is a body comprised mostly of politicians who represent governments. And then what they do is they manipulate and cherry-pick the statements of the scientists involved, and they do so in such an outlandish and egregious manner that many of the top scientists have resigned from the IPCC when they realize the process is deeply corrupted. And what has happened with many of them is that the IPCC goes ahead and puts their name on the document anyway, and they have to sue to get their name off the document. So what we have is this enormous fraud. And let me just read a couple quotes. Oh, by the way, the articles that you mentioned earlier, those are the ones that hopefully we'll be talking about tomorrow. The ones that I've written on this subject are also on that website, www.naturalclimatechange.us. And the first one's called Open Letter to Policymakers, Colleagues, Students, and Citizens, Disproofs of the Hypothesis of AGW, Anthropogenic Global Warming, and Proofs that AGW is a Fraud. That's right at the top of my website. And then last spring, I was involved in a panel discussion with Rosalind Peterson, at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco on the topic of man-made climate change in the skies, for which I put together a PowerPoint presentation, which is called by that name, Man-Made Climate Change in the Skies, or Playing God with the Atmosphere and the Earth. And that's the one on geoengineering and weather modification and weather warfare. Also on that website is an article I wrote in 2008 called Green Global Dictatorship, Regional Governance, UN Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, and the Wildlands Project. And amazingly enough, all of these dovetail together, and it's quite a full-court press we're facing as a country. I really recommend that, you know, people turn off the TV and look up in the sky and educate themselves and inform themselves as to what's going on. This fraud about global warming is indeed a very, very dangerous one. I'll just read a couple more quotes. Ed Ring in 2008, what historians will definitely wonder about in future centuries is how deeply flawed logic, obscured by shrewd and unrelenting propaganda, actually enabled a coalition of powerful special interests to convince nearly everyone in the world that carbon dioxide from human industry was a dangerous planet-destroying toxin. It will be remembered as the greatest mass delusion in the history of the world that carbon dioxide, the life of plants, was considered for a time to be a deadly poison.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Pardon?
That is amazing that so many people have fallen for this. And hasn't the government spent billions of dollars trying to prove this?
Yes. I would say that the governments of the world, again, this is managed kind of out of the UN, but the U.S. has spent upwards of $60 billion or more, probably closer to $100 billion now, through their scientific operations like NOAA, NASA, and NCAR, et cetera, like that, and funding university research. Again, largely it's computer-based. So many of the quote-unquote climate scientists that started this whole fraud were computer scientists who call themselves climate scientists. They may not know squat about climate, but it doesn't matter because the grants are rolling in. We saw that with the ClimateGate fraud over with the University of East Anglia, CRU, Climate Research Unit, with Phil Jones, who was one of the original perpetrators of this fraud going back to the 80s. And this is well documented in Dr. Tim Ball's book, Slaying the Climate Dragon, in his second chapter on climate alarmism. He identifies a small cadre of individuals, such as Tom Wigley. These are Brits. They are computer modelers. And they're taking over the climate research unit from Hubert Lam, who is was a distinguished climatologist. But they turned it in a new direction, in the direction of climate modeling, which it's a fantasy. I mean, it's a so many. I've got some great quotes in my articles, and I would encourage people to read these articles because it's a matter of self-defense. It's a matter of having a future for your kids and grandkids that's going to look anything like what we have today.
Doctor, we do have a break that we need to take. We'll be back in 3 minutes and pick this up on the other side of the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant Powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
Hey, John, you know, we were kind of wondering
what?
That, well, we knew you guys were saving stuff and getting ready for something like
yes.
this.
Yes.
So what I'm trying to say
the answer is no.
Man, I've been your friend for 20 years. We played on the company softball team together.
We simply don't have enough food.
But I'm your friend.
Look, Norbert, I came to you 3 years ago, and you basically called me crazy and walked away.
But...
Sorry.
Bummer.
Folks, they may be rolling their eyes at you now, but they'll be on your front porch when it all hits the fan. So why don't you mosey on over to TexasReady.net and order up a Liberty Seed Bank for you, your shirt-tailed relatives, and all your non-prepping friends. Order your bank at TexasReady.net or call 832-493-1357. That's 832-493-1357. TexasReady.net. Are you Texas Ready?
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Today is Dr. Eric Carlstrom, and his website is naturalclimatechange.us, and there's a lot of resources here. On the left side, you can look at some of the PowerPoints that he's put together. It's just a really huge resource site. It's wonderful.
Well, thank you. Well, yeah, you know, I've taught climatology and I've taught human ecology, which is human environmental issues. And you know, I started teaching at Stan State in 1990, and, you know, I just started with the textbooks and, you know, environmental science, things like that. And the textbooks themselves are slanted and skewed and propagandized, I came to find out about 10 years later. I remember at the end of one of my classes, a fairly, you know, bright, sincere-looking student stood up and said, ah, junk science. And I thought, what? You can't accuse me of, you know, and then but by then, even then, it was about 2000, I already knew that the global warming thing was bogus. And I started looking into the other environmental claims. Oh, loss of biodiversity. Oh, overpopulation. Oh, you know, this, that, and the other. a litany. In fact, when I got there in 1990, there just happened to be a 10-part TV series called Race to Save the Planet. And guess who the moderator was? The guy who introduced it was Marie Strong.
Ah.
And who closed it. And the last episode was called The Environmental Revolution. So these guys are into revolution by other means. And this is the new face of communism. So what we've looked at is enormous propaganda. My generation's been propagandized since my college days in the 60s, and of course the kids have been propagandized. Here, let me read you a quote by Václav Klaus, president of the Czech Republic, on anthropogenic global warming. As someone who lived under communism for most of my life, I feel obliged to say that the biggest threat to freedom, democracy, the market economy, and prosperity at the beginning of the 21st century is not communism or its various softer variants. Communism has been replaced by the threat of ambitious environmentalism. The environmentalists consider their ideas and arguments to be an undisputable truth and use sophisticated methods of media manipulation and PR campaigns to exert pressure on public policymakers to achieve their goals. Their argumentation is based on the spreading of fear and panic by declaring the future of the world to be under serious threat, race to save the planet. In such an atmosphere, they continue pushing policymakers to adopt illiberal measures, impose arbitrary limits, regulations, prohibitions, and restrictions on everyday human activities, and make people subject to omnipotent bureaucratic decision-making. Man-made climate change has become one of the most dangerous arguments aimed at distorting human efforts and public policies in the world. Well, it's become a religion, speaking of religion. And here's what Paul Johnson said at the beginning of one of my favorite books. I've got a whole book shelf of books that have come out in the last several years which debunk the global warming fraud. This is by Professor Robert M. Carter of Australia, called Climate, the Counter Consensus. And the frontest quote is, the idea that human beings have changed and are changing the basic climate system of the Earth through their industrial activities and burning of fossil fuels, the essence of the Greens' theory of global warming, has about as much basis in science as Marxism and Freudianism. Global warming, like Marxism, is a political theory of actions demanding compliance with its rules. Marxism, Freudianism, global warming, or climatism, these are proof of which history offers so many examples that people can be suckers on a grand scale. To their fanatical followers, they are a substitute for religion. Global warming in particular is a creed, a faith, a dogma that has little to do with science. If people are in need of religion, why don't they just turn to the genuine article? So it has become a religion. We're supposed to now worship Gaia. I've got friends here in Crestone, you know, one of whom came and told me, I think about a year ago before Christmas, that, you know, Gaia's pissed because humans have, done too much damage, and there's going to be a cataclysm, a shift of the poles, and California is going to completely fall in the sea. And I told her that as a physical geography professor, that couldn't happen. I know that can't happen. And that I bet her $2 that it wouldn't happen by December of 2011. Well, I won the bet, and now she wants to extend it another year because she's sure it's going to happen. It's an article of faith that Gaia, Mother Earth, is a persona. She has a identity. She perceives things, and humans are the bad guys. Humans, and that is an attitude which you see amongst environmentalists, that nature's good and people who are somehow apart from nature are bad. And it's an ideology, it's a religion. You know, it's very hard to argue with that, but I certainly disagree. Here's again Robert M. Carter. He says, this gets scary. He said, the Australian Broadcasting Company from Australia provides a, quote, greenhouse gas calculator, quote, unquote, whereby answering questions about their lifestyle, a primary school child is encouraged to work out the amount of carbon dioxide that their activities produce, and thereby, and I'm not making this up, quote, to find out what age that you should die at so you don't use more than your fair share of Earth's resources.
Oh, well, my word. Now I mean, isn't there a Gaia Institute, and don't a lot of very large companies promote it and sponsor it?
Absolutely. Yes, this is enormous. This is a multi-trillion dollar industry, if you look at, like you said, the company. Now, this is also from Carter's book. He's talking about the insertion of propaganda PR firms into the global warming issue. And this is coming, a statement 2006 from the Institute for Public Policy Research in London, England. Again, this is coming from England and the UK, the UK and the UN mostly, with the US and other countries on board. The task of climate change agencies is not to persuade by rational argument. Instead, we need to work to a, in a more shrewd and contemporary way using subtle techniques of engagement. The, quote, facts need to be treated as being so taken for granted that they need not be spoken. Ultimately, positive climate behaviors, get that, positive climate behaviors need to be approached in the same way as marketeers approach acts of buying and consuming. It amounts to treating climate-friendly activity, riding your bicycle, walking, etc., as a brand that can be sold. This is, we believe, the route to mass behavior change. Okay, so the people behind this are into, you know, engineering, social engineering, and manipulating the culture in a prescribed direction. This is a tool they've been organizing for this purpose for at least four decades, and of course that spans my academic career. So I've watched this big train come down the tracks. I was getting my PhD at the University of Calgary in physical geography in the late 70s, and it was just starting to take shape. By the time I started teaching in the early 80s at Northern Arizona University, it was picking up real speed, so much so that I think that by then we could see a shift away from the old science to the new science. And the new science in this case, of course, is computers. In fact, between, I was the treasurer of the American Quaternary Association, you know, which is a kind of a loose-knit group of interdisciplinary scientists who study the past 2 million years of Earth's history, which again, is synonymous with the ice ages, huge climate changes in the last 2 million years. You know, 20,000 years ago, Canada is covered by 1 to 2 miles of ice, and sea level is 300-400 feet lower than it is now. Florida was fatter. You could walk from Europe to Ireland, you know, because the English Channel wasn't there because sea level was lower. You could walk from Asia if it wasn't so cold, you could have walked from Asia to North America. There was no Bering Strait. So anyway, it was a radically different world, and this, of course, is all natural climate change. And if we look back deeper into the Earth's history, we see that 80% at least of the Earth's history has been significantly warmer than the present, maybe 8 to 10 degrees centigrade. And in those periods, which is again most of the Earth's history, critters thrive. That's when you get gigantism in the animal kingdom. You know, the critters get bigger when it's warmer because there's more vegetation, et cetera. So we're dealing with, and again, this goes back to James Carter, or Robert Carter. He starts out his book here in his preface, climate change knows three realities. Science reality, which is what working scientists deal with on a daily basis. That'd be me, that'd be him, that'd be people who work with the physical world as we know it. Virtual reality, which is the wholly imaginary world inside computer climate models. That's the second one. And then the third one, public reality, which is the socio-political system within which politicians, business people, and the general citizenry work. So we have a propaganda system, largely coming out of, you know, just a few press agencies. A lot of it comes out of the BBC, which is the propaganda wing of the British government. You can't listen to a BBC report without, oh, the ice is melting faster, sea level's rising faster, more polar bears are dying. There's a whole series of fraudulent claims, each of which is disproven in my paper, which is an 80-page paper, by the way, disproves the hypothesis of anthropogenic global warming. And it's disproven in these books that I'm quoting. I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. There is a guy named James Inhofe, Republican from Oklahoma, who's put together. He's chairman of the Senate Public Works Committee, Environment and Public Works, and he's assembled, or his team has assembled, quotes from top scientists around the world, which are pertinent to this issue. And it's really good reading because these guys are, you know, saying it's a fraud and there's no basis for it. And you go through those quotes and you can really start to understand the science involved. Now, of course, the problem, and the reason this issue has been successful, is that climate science is extremely complex, and most people don't know anything about it. And in that environment, politicians don't know. John Holdren and Eric Holdren? I can't remember. One's the Justice Secretary and one's the Czar of Science. The Czar of Science, he's a physicist. He probably doesn't know much climate science. So it's very easy to fool people in this atmosphere, so to speak, of general ignorance. Climatology, climate science is a young science, and it borrows from many, many different ancillary sciences. Geography is where I'm coming from, and geography is one of the better vehicles for physical geography because it has been studying this for a long time. Also, earth science and geology, of course, you're looking at the geological record, and this is how you understand patterns of natural climate change.
But I think that the media, in conjunction with the educational system, has really dumbed people down to the point that they cannot or do not understand this science anymore. And so they're very easy to manipulate and to fool and to think that they are somehow contributing to all of these problems. And, of course, the media, people look at the media, and they tend to believe everything that they see on this, you know, television programming.
Yeah, you're very right. And not only that, I mean, I just retired from a university position, and I have friends who are quite smart, you know, business professors, English professors, who refuse to, listen to what I have to say about this, and in fact will argue with me and tell me why I'm wrong. They know nothing about it except what they get out of the media. And we're at an impasse because for them, it again has become more than a scientific issue. It's become a kind of a matter of belief, a religion. They have been inculcated, indoctrinated. They teach it probably in their classes, even though it's English and business, which, again, it doesn't have much overlap with climate science. We're between a rock and a hard place in that sense, and the only real solution is for Americans to just start waking up and finding their information from alternative sources, such as your show and my website, et cetera. Information is readily available. It's out there, but do not believe the mainstream media. It's owned by five or six corporations, the corporatocracy. They tell you what they want you to know or what they want you to think. It's a pack of infotainment, which has very little to do with what's really important.
Sure. And these same corporations are the ones that are promoting this would benefit. But what is the benefit? Is it the reduction of population? Is it the confiscation of the resources? Is it just control? Do the chemtrails have anything to do with this? Does the smart grid have anything to do with this?
Yeah, your question, you know, is right on in the sense it has to do with all of those things. The United Nations wants to be the prototype of global government, and Gordon Brown, former Prime Minister of England, you know, said, "Oh, global problems require a global solution." Well, that, of course, means global warming is such a global problem. We have to kick it upstairs administratively and let the UN make sure that, the wealthy industrialized nations are complying with these rules, which in effect amounts to a huge transfer of wealth from the industrialized nations probably to the rich first, but then to a lesser extent to the less industrialized nations. So, you know, it's communism. In fact, there's even been people who talk about the modern environmentalists as watermelons, you know, green on the outside and red on the inside.
Oh,
and
I say this
as somebody who's, you know, done a lot of hiking and climbing, and I live in a beautiful place at the base of 14,000-foot mountains, and I love nature, and I have always considered myself an environmentalist. But it's quite obvious what has happened to the environmental movement. I mean, Sierra Club, Natural Resource Defense Council, all these major corporate environmental agencies are very much allied with the corporation. They fulfill the role of NGOs, non-governmental organizations, and they're often at the table with the corporations making the decisions, and they are staffed and run by people who probably come from the corporation. So,
right.
So
if,
they're not doing the they're not doing their work on behalf of the environment. They're doing their work on behalf of the ruling elite.
Exactly. And some of those same environmental organizations helped to push through NAFTA, which certainly contributes to the deindustrialization of the United States. We do have to take a 3-minute break. We will be right back with our guest today after a word from our sponsors.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Dr. Eric Carlstrom. His website is naturalclimatechange.us. And didn't this all start about in 1971 or so with the meeting? And didn't, I think really with the inception of the UN back in 1945, I think that they have taken over much of the ruling of the planet, and that a lot of the decisions comes from the UN, and that certainly, presidents are simply puppets that are going along with this whole program. And also they've taken over when you look at who owns the aquifers and who's pushing vaccines and some of these other things, I mean, it's just, you know, if you tie it all together, it's pretty awful.
Interesting you mentioned the aquifers. Yeah, control of resources is certainly a very, very big part of the agenda. And again, this character, Marie Strong, actually was asked to serve on the board of directors of the Arizona Land and Cattle Association, which is a huge piece of land just immediately adjacent to where I live, which sits over one of the largest freshwater aquifers in North America. And he then purchased, he wound up getting the whole ranch. It was an old Spanish land grant, about 12 miles by 12 miles, huge piece of land. And he wound up trying to take the water from under our valley and export it with pipes over to Denver and make another $1 billion. These guys are mostly billionaires. And he called himself, well, he was also the organizer of the 1972 Stockholm Environmental, International Environmental Conference, the first, and then he was the Secretary General of the Rio Earth Summit in 1992, which was the second major environmental summit. So he wears two hats. One, you know, he's the head of Hydro Canada and Petro Canada and Dome Petroleum. We'll talk a little bit about all that tomorrow, but so he's a super environmentalist, or he calls himself a super environmentalist, saving the planet on the one hand. On the other hand, he is controlling resources. So, yeah, all of this has to do with controlling resources. He's also one of the most influential individuals at the UN, or has been until he was caught in the oil for food scandal that had to do with Iraq and about 2000, about a decade ago, and then was ousted from the UN. But I'd say between about 1960 and 2000, he was one of the most powerful figures, never elected, but he was advisor to Kofi Annan and various UN figures. But sticking with the UN for a minute, in the year 2000, they wrote a document in which they claimed trusteeship for themselves of the atmosphere, the space, and the ocean. They want the whole enchilada, you know. So it's this interesting mix of billionaires who themselves control resources, like Ted Turner, who owns more land worldwide than the Nature Conservancy, and institutions which represent those individuals, which represents that small cabal, that small ruling elite, of which the UN is the world instrument to bring about world government.
All righty. Let's hold that thought there. We do have to take a 60-second break, and we'll be right back after station ID.